of the House Special Committee on Budget, specifically the Subcommittee on General Government and Transportation and Economic Development. This morning it is Thursday, May 26, 2005, and we are going to open a work session on House Bill 5086, the Board of Accountancy Fee Bill. Dallas.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if you remember when we were in the joint committee, there was some concern about this fee for substantial equivalency. It was $100. There were concerns raised about the Board of Accountancy's fund balance and whether they needed the fee. General feeling at that time was they didn't need the revenue, but there was an issue of equity in assessing a fee for out-of-state people who wanted to be registered. We postponed working on that bill until the board had a chance to meet and discuss its fund balance and this issue. You have before you a copy of something that the Board of Accountancy, its board, met and reviewed and factually prepared this. And we were at the board meeting where they discussed this. So they have analyzed things that they will be working on. They expect to disciplinary actions and the like, potential needs for their fund balance. We discussed this with the board. Not only is the potential there for them to incur the cost, but also this will give them a way to start tracking their projections and the like. So I can assure you from my visit with the board that they are aware of this committee's concerns. They are aware of their responsibility as keepers of the public trust, if you will, and regulation of board of accountants and keeping the cost in line. They feel that their fund balance is appropriate and will be monitoring it very closely. I should let you know that in the discussion we talked about whether they could recover costs of disciplinary proceedings, and their statute doesn't currently allow that. We, in a program bill, we will be recommending an amendment then to their statutes in a program bill somewhere in the future coming out of Ways and Means that would allow them to recover costs of disciplinary proceedings when they have to. They're a small board, and when they take on a rather large multi-billion-dollar firm, they can it can be very costly, and right now they're limited to $5,000 in civil damages. So that will be coming down the road to enable them to recover the cost of those disciplinary proceedings. Having said that, we have an amendment now to House Bill 5086 because the old fee bill was House Bill 5002. The amendment you have before you replaces a blank appropriation bill with the language that was in House Bill 5002, which keeps the $100 fee for these licensees that come from out of state that meet substantial equivalency requirements. Your staff is recommending approval of the amendment and that move it to the full committee with a due pass as amended.
Ms. Reeve Satish, would either of you like to come up and share anything on this or just wants to proceed forward? Okay. Perfect.
And we have a member of the board here who was very instrumental in reviewing this also.
Thank you for coming today.
I'm Jen Vance.
Thank you. Thank you. With that, colleagues, any comments?
No. Do you need a motion to move House Bill 5002 to the full committee with the due pass recommendation?
Nope. We need a motion on the amendment, the -1 to 5086.
Okay, so moved there.
Representative Avakian moves the -1 amendments to House Bill 5086. Any discussion? Any dissension?
Mr. Chairman, yeah. If you would, I voted no originally on House Bill 5002 because, and I made a note here because I was protesting high-ending balances, and I appreciate the effort that went into the discussion about what they expect there needs to be in the future. And in 2 years, we'll see how well they did and see where we need to go from there. Thank you.
Thank you. So we...
I will be a yes.
You will be a yes. Okay. Seeing no objections, the -1 amendments to House Bill 5086 are approved. Now we need a motion...
To the full with the due pass with as amended.
So moved.
Representative Avakian moves House Bill 5086-5.
Well, just the 5086 as amended.
As amended, thank you. The Board of Accounts see fee bill to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, so passed. We're now going to close the work session on House Bill 5086.
Can I get a carrier for this?
Oh, we need a carrier.
Sure.
Representative Avakian, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We're now going to open a work session on LC 3545 relating to the statewide lien register. And before we do that, thank you very much to the Board of Accountancy, and we appreciate the good work you do.
Jan, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Dallas.
Okay, House, you have before you LC 3545, which is the result of what was begun some time ago. The chair in the Senate and the Joint Committee, Representative Smith and Representative Johnson, this is a collaborative effort to establish a statewide lien register, and it's basically a very low-cost, efficient way of registering liens by state agency, the access via the website, and hopefully to improve the collection of amounts due state agencies and allow greater public access to those records. And this LC that you have before you is the result of work of four agencies. The Attorney General's Office has been involved with the Department of Revenue, the Secretary of State, and the Department of Administrative Services. Having said that, what it means is that it's been fairly well vetted, and kinks, concerns have been ironed out. Amongst those, this would allow any state agency with a warrant authority to file a lien at this registry or with the Secretary of State. And there are about five agencies that have this authority: Consumer and Business Services, Employment, I think Human Services, and Revenue, one or two others. But any other state agency that has an amount that is due and owing and files or places that amount for collection with the Department of Revenue's other agency account section for collection, then that, having placed that collection responsibility or authority with the Department of Revenue, gives that department, the Department of Revenue, the authority to put the lien on the registry. So it really expands the opportunity, reduces costs, because right now, as if you remember the testimony previously given by the Department of Revenue, is $16 to file a lien in a given, any given county, and $16 to have it taken off. So it's a $32 round trip. This would have statewide coverage, and they estimate right now they're talking about probably $1 a transaction registry fee. So this has been, we've received approval up the line from the chair to have this introduced as a committee bill. We checked with the clerk of the House and the speaker's office, so they say so we're good to go.
Terrific. Is there anyone out who would on the audience would like to talk about this legislative concept? Seeing none, anything from the Oregon Bankers Association? You folks have had a chance to take a look at this? Okay. I'd like to share with the committee very quickly. This LC draft, from my perspective, is a consumer protection bill in that it's going to allow citizens from the state of Oregon to periodically check to make sure that their good name is being protected, and to make sure that those folks who perhaps could be utilizing their name in an inappropriate way and somehow affecting the state of Oregon, to ensure that their name isn't being used in a way it shouldn't be. It's a good lender protection bill. It's going to give lenders an opportunity to get online and to take a look at the customers they're looking at extending credit to, and to determine if there's any outstanding issues that perhaps need to be resolved, and perhaps the lending institutions will be able to work with those folks or to refer them on to someone to help them work with those folks. I think this is going to be a good small business protection bill in that in a lot of our rural communities, small businesses extend credit to folks. And this is just a very quick, simple litmus test, if you will, for small business owners to determine whether or not they want to extend credit. You can get online. You'll be able to see if there's individuals who you're looking at extending credit to who have large outstanding balances to the state of Oregon. You'll be able to use that as a quick decision. And finally, it's a good taxpayer protection piece of legislation, and that each and every one of us in this room are paying our fair share. We're doing what we're obligated to do, and we want to make sure that those folks who are purposely trying to avoid paying their taxes have a tool once again brought against them to try and bring them to the table to ensure they're paying their fair share. So I think this is a win-win for all Oregonians, and I sure would appreciate your folks' support on this. I truly appreciate Senator Johnson as the chair of our joint Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government for allowing this draft LC to move forward. This is an issue that was actually the very first issue I brought into the Capitol as a freshman 3 terms ago. And as she stated, I now understand the evolution. How did she say that? The evolution of
even if we could remember, it couldn't be said in the same way.
It couldn't be said in the same way. It pays not to be a freshman if you want to move legislation. So anyway, with that said, I truly appreciate the work Dallas has done. I appreciate the good work the Secretary of State, the Department of Revenue, the State Treasurer, and the Department of Administrative Services have done on this. And I know Senator Johnson is eager to receive this piece of legislation on her side.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
A couple of questions about this. Is there anyone here who can address questions?
We sure hope so. Come on up.
Okay. A couple of questions, Mr. Chairman, in regards to agricultural liens that are filed by farmers on companies who take their products and do not pay them, or in regards to, which is an issue we had a few years ago, and Tim Martinez is in the back of the room, we worked through that, came out of the ABT bankruptcy, which caused about $40 million in losses to Oregon farmers, of which we've been able to recover very little in the federal bankruptcy courts. Out of that, we strengthened our lien laws for agriculture. How does this affect any of those changes at all, in any way? Do you know?
That's a great question.
For the record, my name is Peter Threlko. I'm the director of the Corporation Division for the Secretary of State's office. This new lien type would just be, it wouldn't be a superior lien. It would come in, the transactions would be taken in priority order. So if this had a prior filing date, I believe that it would be priority by the filing date, not because it was from the Department of Revenue rather than an ag produce lien.
So it remains first in time, or first in line, first in time.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'm sensitive to words, you just made the characterization of this as a lien type. I thought this is a registry, not a new lien type.
That is correct.
It is a registry and not a new lien
this
type,
is
Mr.
A,
Chair?
This is a registry of existing liens.
Of existing liens.
Existing
okay,
liens, yeah. So very similar to the warrants that are currently filed.
Okay.
What's happened, Representative Krupp, is currently the state of Oregon, when it files a lien, does it at the county level.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I had an outstanding debt in Marion County, but I was looking to borrow, say, from the Bank of Eastern Oregon in Morrow County, the Bank of Eastern Oregon is going to have to know to come to Marion County to find that lien. This is going to be an opportunity to take state-owed debt, and to have a one-stop location for creditors to see if any debt is has a lien on it with the state of Oregon.
How about the removal of the liens or expiration of the liens? I see expiration of Section 7, release or subordination of lien in 6, expiration of lien in 7. Who's responsible for this? Is one of the issues we talked about when we were working on changing the agricultural lien laws. Is who's responsible for removing that lien from the registry Does it go off automatically, or is it the individual under this law, is the individual who places the lien responsible for removing it when the obligations are fulfilled?
Chair Smith, Representative Krupp. It's going to be the state agency that places the lien will be the one that's authorized to release it. I believe Dallas mentioned earlier that these will be done online. The entire system will be electronic only, so there won't be we won't be receiving any paper transactions. And so we'll make provisions so that Department of Revenue and other agencies have the ability to go in from their terminal through the web and release the lien, and as soon as they hit transmit, it'll be done in real time.
I want to add to that comment. This was an issue, Representative Krupp, that we discussed in my office yesterday. I had a real concern in making sure that transactions are handled in a timely manner.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, mm-hmm. if someone's good name is listed on here that shouldn't be. I'm hoping I made that very, very clear to everyone in my office that there is an expectation that transactions are going to be handled very quickly and very accurately on this system, and we're going to ask them to come back to us in the next biennium and share with us how that is taking place.
Okay, and there is verbiage here. Mr. Chair, I see in Section 8 that says that the agency shall transmit a release of lien to the Secretary of State as soon as practical when the debt on which the lien is based is satisfied.
Right.
And that's appropriate language, and I think that answers the rest of my questions.
Well, I want to, for the record, make it very, very clear to Oregonians. Our expectation with this is, as I mentioned, to protect the consumer, to protect the lender, to protect the small business owner, to protect the taxpayer. And the Secretary of State's office has assured me in their partnership with us on this, they want to make sure that these transactions are handled in an efficient and accurate manner. And their good name is on the line, our good name is on the line. And I think in 2 years we're going to be able to report back and say, we've taken a step in making sure that we've expedited this process, and we've created a system in which actually we'll be able to clear people's goods names in a much quicker way than is currently being done. At least that's what I'm hoping will come from this. And I see heads nodding, and so I hope that assumption is correct.
Chair Smith, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Larry Hinton. I'm a section manager at the Department of Revenue. I work in collection and filing enforcement. Currently, we have situations where people have liens recorded in the county, and they will call at 9 o'clock in the morning on Friday, and they want to close on a real estate transaction by 3 o'clock that afternoon. The Central Lien Registry would be highly automated, but it wouldn't necessarily be within a matter of 5 or 6 hours. We have the ability today, and we would still have the ability with the new system, to take the necessary manual steps to complete those types of transactions very, very quickly to not interfere with these types of situations. It happens today. We'll send a fax to the financial institution, or we'll make telephone calls. We'll do whatever's necessary to help the taxpayer through that situation.
Well, we appreciate that. Because most definitely, if this legislative concept does not work, the Secretary of State and the three of us will be receiving phone calls, and I'm sure next session we'll be having a discussion.
Mr. Chair, yes. Question about this is an online system. Is there going to be a fiscal, a Ways and Means fiscal attached to this to allow, is the capability exist within existing systems to do this, or do you need to upgrade? Where are we at in terms of the money with this thing?
Chair Smith, Representative Krupp, we're right now in the process of upgrading our current UCC system that positions us to offer electronic filing for our other UCC liens later this summer. And we've talked to the contractor that we're working with about this bill and the costs. We've received an estimate of the costs. It would take about $200,000 to build out this portion of the system to accommodate the statewide lien registry, and then we would be able to have that in place by January. The funding for that is already in our budget requests under POP 172. So,
I may add to that, Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp, that they'll recover that cost through transaction fees charged of the agencies that are filing the liens, and those agencies already have monies in their budgets for the debt collection activities. So it would be no new other than the additional cost expenditure authority for the Secretary of State to establish it. We wouldn't need to provide additional resources elsewhere.
My understanding, really quick, is there's other states that have a similar system. Do you know offhand how many other states do?
To my knowledge, it's only the state of Idaho has the statewide lien register.
Yeah.
Just the state of Idaho.
Oh, I apologize, committee. I was under the assumption we were one of the few remaining that didn't have that. So we're actually getting out front on the curve on this.
Representative Smith, John DeCrane from the State Controller's Office, Department of Administrative Services. There was a number of other states that had bills that were produced out there. I don't recall the exact number, but we were actually looking at bills from other states when we were crafting some of the language there. So Idaho is the one who's had it for several years, and they've been the one we've been talking to about how things work and getting any alleviating any surprises.
Well, we appreciate, again, all of your folks' hard work on this issue. So, any other questions of the committee?
I'm satisfied, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So, Dallas, do we need a motion then to approve the legislative concept?
Just to move it to the floor with a recommendation that it be approved for bill introduction as a committee bill.
Okay. So we need a motion to approve LC 3545 to approve it and to send it to the full committee for bill introduction.
Right. With a recommendation that it be filed as a bill, committee bill.
With a recommendation that it'll be filed as a committee bill.
Sounds good.
So moved.
Representative Avakian moves that LC 3545 be approved with a recommendation to the full committee that it be approved as a committee bill. Any discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none. So moved. Please. Thank you. Really quick, I see that we have a letter from Department of Administrative Services.
Right. That was in response to the questions raised about some vacant positions, but they've responded, and you each have a copy of the letter in front of you.
Okay. Seeing no other work before the committee, we now are adjourned.
Good.